الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Today we have a nikah of our friend, mashallah, with mashallah, Yusuf Osmani. So just a few words with regard to nikah. Unfortunately, because of our unmindfulness, normally on a nikah occasion, the talk also that is given is usually very light-hearted, some jokes added to it, and just making both the parties, their families, praising them, making them happy, etc. But we should try and follow sunnah in everything. The bayan which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave at the time of nikah, that is the khutbah of nikah, that is the bayan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited three ayats in the every time when he made the nikah. And all three ayats are filled with taqwa. The beginning of it also, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, two ayats. The other, Ya ayyuhal nasu taqu rabbakum, that O people are so full of taqwa. And then the one ayat at the end again, Wattaqullah alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Again taqwa at the end, open, clear words. And the other two ayats, though the words of taqwa are not clear, but it is all taqwa. So in other words, the whole bayan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was filled with taqwa. And taqwa is the thing which a person must imbibe. That is the main preparation for nikah. For us, it is lot of other things. Lot of unnecessary things, lot of wrong things, lot of haram things are our preparation for nikah. And how much of that we do. But for the effort of taqwa, we make, no, it doesn't even come to our mind. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that nikah is half of iman. And the other half have taqwa, fear of Allah. So your iman will be completed with nikah. But that is if we have observed, if we observe taqwa. In this ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it's addressed to the believers who are the friends of Allah. So Allah is giving great advice. Every time it should be that we ask somebody, give me advice. I'm going for Umrah, give me advice. I'm going for Hajj, give me advice. I'm getting married, give me advice. So the advice Allah is giving. For those who are getting married, that all you who believe, my friends and my very dear friends, those who believe in me without seeing me, those who fulfill my commands without having heard my commands from me directly. So what great lovers are you? So for you, my one particular advice is that when you are getting married also, ittaqullah, have the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The fear of Allah, the conscience of Allah. That is what we should try and develop. And all our programs, everything, is to try and create this nisbat ma'Allah, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And a person, to whatever degree he makes effort and Allah blesses him, and he gets this conscience of Allah Ta'ala, his whole life automatically changes. When he realizes we are driving at a speed on the road, and we just get somebody flickering some light, so we think there are speed traps in front. So just that little, and it changes immediately. Our leg immediately goes off the accelerator. If need be, it will go on to the brake also, to reduce our speed. So just like that, a person who gets taqwa, automatically his life will change. And that person doesn't have to think that I must reduce my speed now. He doesn't have to think I must take my leg off the accelerator. It just happens automatically, and it happens instantly. So just like that, with Allah Ta'ala's fear, that the conscience of Allah Ta'ala comes, a person's life will completely change. A person, for example, If so, you see two people, one person is rolling up his sleeves, and he also pulls out a firearm. And the other person also rolls up his sleeves, and he takes his miswak and his lota. Who should we fear? The person with the firearm, or the person who took out his miswak and his lota? Who should we fear? That we should fear. And who will we fear? Will we fear that person with the miswak and lota? That is our, we haven't got conscience of Allah Ta'ala, though we might claim so much. And we find those who had developed it, there was no second thought. Just like you don't have to think to take your leg off the accelerator, you don't have to think to put your leg on the brake pedal, it just happens automatically. So that is the taqwa that we have to. So anyway, there is no limit to taqwa, there is no limit to the explanation of taqwa also. So in this ayat, Allah has commanded this taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. And how much of taqwa should we have? Haqqa tuqati. How much Allah is to be feared. And Allah Ta'ala is present all the time. A person wants to commit a terrible guna, but a little child comes there, 2-3 year old child, and he doesn't commit it. The fear of Allah is not even that much that we have got for a 2-3 year old child. We fear the child more. Even if a person is speaking on the phone, and just the thought that somebody is hearing, and he will change his whole subject also. He'll make an excuse also. Or without excuse, he'll switch off the phone. Or he'll say, I'll call you later or something. But Allah, who is there all the time, and our five times namaz, one of the great aspects of it, our Buzurgani Deen have explained, it's a service, our namaz, that we build, that conscience of Allah comes back into us. In the namaz it should be, and the namaz is that after that, out of namaz also, Allah's conscience must be all the time. But when the very thing, agar namak hi kharab ho jaye, if the salt is to correct the food, to give taste to the food, qurbani time in the animal skins we put salt. So it doesn't go, or salt is used, that the thing mustn't go bad, it mustn't deteriorate. But if the salt is gone bad, so if our namaz, which was supposed to bring life in the rest of our life, but our namaz, there is no life. There is no concentration of, no thought of Allah. From Allahu Akbar, till Assalamu Alaikum Rahmatullah, we hardly think of Allah Ta'ala. Namaz was to bring in our 24 hours the thought of Allah. But that namaz also, zikr is to bring the consciousness of Allah. But our zikr is empty of Allah's remembrance. So then what is going to correct it? And the ulama are the salt of the ummah. They are to correct the ummah. Agar ulama hi bigar jaye. But if the ulama, the salt of the ummah is spoiled, now what hope have you got then of any? So anyway, taqwa is a great thing. So Allah Ta'ala says, and acquire the required amount of it. Not just that you think that so much of taqwa, this is sufficient. Some people hardly make parda, and they say, you want us to make double parda. That you want us to be very, very strict on it. Anything else, you want us to be over holy now. We are hardly holy in any way. But we are, just to try and get away, we say that you want us to be too holy. So Allah says, how much Allah is to be feared. As Allah Ta'ala told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Be straight. And to be straight is not an easy thing. On this, or in tafsir, the ulama explained that in dunya's matters, like for example, you're building a building, and there also everything must be perfect in that building. If you are 1 degree off and your building goes out of square, it's not square, So when you will be putting your tiles, you'll see you have got a problem. That they are broad at the bottom, they are narrow on top, because the measurement is not right. It's 2 meters at the bottom, it's 1.9 on top. It's not in square. Your floor tiles, your floor carpet is not, won't fit in. Your door frames won't fit in properly. You'll have a problem forever with your door frames, with your windows. It's not a square. These are dunya things, small things. Indeed, if we are not aligned properly, if we haven't got the taqwa properly, we are not straight properly, if we are crooked indeed, with a disaster, it won't be only for this house. You might demolish it, rebuild it. You might sell it. You might go and stay somewhere else. You'll leave it eventually. One day you'll go to the qabr. But your akhirat, for how long the qabr? Forever our akhirat. So how important it is that must be straight. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. And how much Allah wants you to be. When this ayat was revealed, that have the fear of Allah, that haqqa tuqati. The Sahaba also said, oh Allah's Rasul, this is very, very hard for us to fear Allah all the time. The Sahaba who wanted to practice on deen, they didn't just take it like that. They said that it's very hard for us. Allah Ta'ala made it easy. And Allah said, fattaqullah mastata'tu. Fear Allah how much you can. Now, how much you can is also not just that we just do a little and say, I can only do so much. No, how much we can, how much our capacity is fully to that amount. And we see that Allah Ta'ala has given all the leeways also. For example, if you haven't got food to eat, there's only haram. There you are permitted now to eat some haram, but only so much that will keep you alive. And that also it is preferable you don't. To die a death of honor is better than living a life of humiliation and disgrace. Even for example, if somebody forces you that you must say words of kufr, that don't practice on your Islam, don't take Allah's name. One friend was just saying now in France to the condition that a neighbor just made salam. And the neighbors reported that to the police, and they arrested them just for making salam. Like it was before, any small thing of deen you have, then it is a problem. So how much we can do, we must do. What we really can. Some people, Ramzan comes, and they say, I'm a diabetic, I can't keep roza. Just on his own. Whereas for that, a good Muslim doctor should tell him whether he can keep roza or not. How common it is, how many youngsters, healthy people sitting on chairs without any excuse, just in their own mind, that now I can make my namaz on a chair. Whereas to stand in namaz is a farad. A person must speak to a mufti and ask, put his case forward and get permission from the mufti, then he can sit on the chair. Not just our own decision that now I can't sit on a chair, I can't stand and make namaz, I have to sit and make. If when a person is sincere, correct, Islam has allowed it, no problem. He can sit on the chair and make namaz. But we should first find out properly. So the taqwa is a very important thing. So Allah Ta'ala says, have that proper, and that is the preparation of nikah. If we make that preparation, and that is the big ingredient for the success of nikah, for anything else, a business adventure you are starting, anything you do, taqwa is one of the first requirements. You go for hajj, Allah Ta'ala says, that take your provision for hajj. What's the ayat for? For taking. فَتَزَوَّدُوا. Take your tosha. You take your make your preparation. وَخَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And your main important pack bags and bags of taqwa. Your other bags of your clothes and your medication, all those things on its place. But more than that, which you cannot see, more bags which you won't put on the scale when you're checking in. But have the bags of taqwa. Have bags of sabr for such a journey of Hajj, etc. So that is what we have to prepare. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. And in that preparation, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And don't die, but in the condition that you are Muslims, that you have surrendered totally to Allah Ta'ala. Mort is not in our hands, so we have to be prepared all the time. That we immediately we should start preparing to surrender ourselves. Surrendering ourselves, our desires we surrender. And whatever Allah wants, not my desires. We don't see what will make the people happy. We see what will make Allah happy. Even so much so, not even what makes my wife happy, or my parents, or my children, my husband, my wife, what makes Allah happy. That is what we have to see. So much we have to surrender to Allah. And in all matters, we give preference to the command of Allah Ta'ala. So, our explanation of this ayat is given very beautifully. That, for example, a person goes for Hajj and he comes back as a Haji. And previously, the Muallims, everyone should have a Muallim previously. And the Muallim should give you a Haji certificate also, that you're a Haji. Those days, photography was not as it is today, so terrible. But there were studios in Makkah Sharif. And a person will go to the studio where there is a replica of the Kaaba and standing there in a Ihram. And he will take a photo of himself. And he will bring it back and show people that I was at the Kaaba. And I'm a Haji. And people will come and meet him when he comes back. And those were the things that he used to show. He got his certificate. But he made his Hajj. He came back. And he hardly still hasn't learned how to make Hajj. Like an impossible thing that whatever you do, you learn how to do it. But you have come back, you're a Haji already. You got a Hajj certificate, Haji certificate. But you still didn't learn how to make Hajj. Hajj karke aaye. Lekin abhi Hajj karna seekha nahi. You have come back from Hajj, you've got a title, but you haven't still learned how to make Hajj also. Like for example, somebody comes to you, you want to employ him as a driver. And you tell him that your driver's license, I haven't got one. And the next day he brings a driver's license. And he presents it, but he hasn't learned how to drive. He doesn't know what's the clutch and what's the accelerator. He doesn't know what's the steering wheel and what's the exhaust. Nothing. But he says he got a license already. And that's happening now. You don't even have to go for the driver's test, learner's test. And it will be delivered by courier. Your driver's license also will be delivered to you sitting at home. So like that we have become Hajis. And we might laugh at it, but we are Mu'mins like that. That our Iman, when did we work for our Iman? Then when did we make effort for Ittaqwa? Without Taqwa we can't live. Without Iman we can't live. But we also got our Iman just delivered. No effort we made. We didn't learn Iman. تعلمنا الإيمان ثم تعلمنا القرآن. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu say, we learned Quran also, we learned Iman also. But when did we learn Iman? Quran we still learn, but Iman, when did we learn? And Iman is not just that we read Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi. There is much, much more detail which we know. So without Iman, we can't live. But we are living. We are doing everything, but the reality of the things are not in us. So just like that for nikah also, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person was not allowed to operate a business until he did not pass a test of that you know how to operate a business according to Islamic rules, according to the Masail, the rules of Islam. Today, which pious trader also is doing his business knowing the Islamic rules. Applying them is afterwards. Just knowing the rules. We don't even know the rules. We don't even know the terms. At least just the outward terms. What is, for example, Muzarabat? What is Ra'sul Mal? What is all these things? We don't know that. But I'm doing business. I'm even giving my zakat. But I don't know how to do business. All that nikah we make. Unfortunately, how many of us nowadays will go on the internet and read something about marriage, how to make a successful marriage? But what is the requirements according to deen? Who of us will worry about that? For Hajj we prepare, our preparation mainly, that where we're going to stay. And today the big worry is to get accreditation. After that now, your booking, your agents, all that. The actual preparation, hardly. There are people who make preparation, but very little. And by the way, whereas the main preparation we have to do is to really learn how to make the Hajj. And not only the masail of Hajj, the history of Hajj, which will make add so much value to the Hajj. And then the spirituality of the Hajj, which is the life of the Hajj. Otherwise, it will be a Hajj without life in it. So all those things, so that taqwa we have to acquire. And to surrender to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, a person, we made nikah already, and we didn't learn how to make nikah. And so sad, today we hear so many cases of like what we will call good people, alimas also. Just 3 days in the marriage, and no, I'm not going back now. 1 week in the marriage, and finish, call the marriage off now. And they are adamant, they won't listen to anyone. Because no preparation, what is nikah? We got a different picture completely of what nikah is. We think of it is bed and bathroom. That is all what nikah is. Or we think of it of some other type of what evil things we think. What the Quran Sharif has said about nikah. And for what are the niyats of nikah? All that we have to know. So Allah give us tawfiq that we learn our deen and every aspect of our deen. And we must not die, Allah says, until you have totally learned all this. That means quickly get involved in learning your deen. For dunya things, for example, a new law is coming out. Whatever it might be. And then all the people get prepared. Immediately they start working. We have to comply. We have to get things right. There is a deadline. By so and so time, you have to do everything. We get the information about it. What forms we have to fill in, we fill in everything we do. But Allah's command that we don't think of complying at all. And we go, and a person who goes unprepared, does unprepared for anything, what's his condition? What if we go unprepared, and for which we won't get another chance ever again, and we go unprepared in the qabr, that is, it's a disaster. The word disaster can't explain the disaster. There are no words that can explain what the condition. And the Quran Sharif from beginning to end explains the condition of the qabr. When your record of deeds will be presented in the qabr, your condition in the akhirat, but we don't take heed about it at all. That your kitab that will be presented, your record of deeds, لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة. It won't miss out the smallest thing or biggest thing. Everything will be there. That whatever you will do, you will find it present there completely. What our lives were, which we thought nobody knows, and which we didn't even have to delete, nobody knows about it. It will all be there. And read your own kitab. Iqra kitab. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. You can make your own ruling, whether you pass or fail. Everything will be there. So what will be, if that is the preparation. Nikah, when that will be made, then you can expect the fruit of nikah. But for us, nikah is after nikah, immediately into a big haram, honeymoon. And then all the evil that goes with that, going to hotels, resorts, where there is no parda, where there is nudity. And going to those places where what all the homosexuals and all the lesbians and all the worst gunas that take place in those dirty places. And we consummate the nikah there. If it was not consummated before, it was supposed to consummate. And how many are the nikah, whatever had to be done after nikah is done well before nikah. And then after nikah is only one thing left, to divorce now. So immediately after nikah we think of divorce now. How stupid, forget from a dini point of view, from a dunya's point of view. All these things are totally illogical, they are totally wrong. But unfortunately, when the parda, the veil falls on the brain, Judge Akbar Allahabadi was asked, the woman when they were in his time, perhaps 100-120 years ago, and where's your parda? You're not wearing parda, O woman. They say our parda has fallen on the brains of our men. They don't want us to wear parda anymore. So the veil has fallen. We can't see right from wrong. We can't see wrong from right. We can't see black from white. We can't see day from night. Unfortunately, this is our reality. And this is the enlightened zamana, which also Akbar Allahabadi told, that, oh modern zamana, may your face be disgraced. You have come with the old face of jahalat, and you have come in just with some cosmetics on you. You are just shining outside, like today commonly, women, they don't know how to make a non-Muslim woman 100%. What they know about ghusl? How to make a faraz ghusl? Even if they bath, they still napa. And they use so much water in a bathtub, after that they still napa. Like the Hindu woman wears so much of material in making a sari, but the body is still exposed. And the man, the dhoti what they wear, also lot of material, but still the body is exposed. And today with a bikini, you spend so much money and your whole body is exposed. Whereas if you spend money on little bit of clothes, your whole body can be closed if you do it the right way. Allah guide us, give us tawfiq, inshallah.